Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Tea with Crema. My name is Chris, and I'll be one of your hosts today, and I'm joined by my best friend, Emma.
Hello!
Our episode today is about a topic that I wouldn't say we feel passionately about, but it's definitely one of those ones that is becoming, I think, has been prevalent in the entirety of our lives, I would say. It has never not been in the question, but has become very, 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 very relevant recently, and will probably only continue to be relevant for better or for worse in the coming future. And so today we'll be talking about AI, also called artificial intelligence. And it's, yeah, I don't remember a time consciously where like AI wasn't a thing that was at least conceptually something that existed. And so I think it's only become more prevalent. And the timing of this episode is very great because there's a whole AI movie just dropped, I would say, 2-ish or so weeks ago on Netflix called Atlas, which is very, very AI-centric. So the timing just went really well. This was definitely a topic we've been a little bit interested in and exploring. And so today we'll be exploring AI as it relates to mostly artistic expression in film, but then also kind of our thoughts around how those films have kind of made us feel about AI happening in real life. And so very well could be a part two where we're really diving into AI in real life, especially as it becomes more and more and more and more and more prevalent. Before we begin though, Emma, what tea did you bring today?
I lost the package, but it's an English ginger chai, and it's very nice. It's very just like subtle. I think this is one of those teas that maybe needs a milk with it because the ginger is, it's very ginger forward. So it's kind of drying out my mouth a little bit, but it's really good otherwise. What are you drinking today?
I have another Tea is for Texas. So the Independence Coffee Co. that I enjoy has this Earl Grey Creme de la Creme black tea that is very straightforward. I would say not a lot of bells and whistles. It's just very strong black tea. But I've learned how to, you know, zhuzh it up, doll it up a little bit. So it's a nice base tea for sure that I can then explore with a little bit more freely because it just brings strong black tea to the table. So I really enjoyed it. I enjoy this company. And now that they have it at the new HEB that's near where I live, it's just so convenient. I have no sadness about it. It's great.
We haven't even talked about the new HEB by you. How is it?
It's an HEB and it's near me. I don't ever not go at this point. I've almost completely stopped going to anywhere else for pretty much anything else. It's great.
That's awesome. I love HEB. Anyway, if you're in Texas, check out I'm sure you already know about HEB. If you're ever visiting Texas, go to HEB and Buc-ee's. But let's get started into this. Chris and I have lots of, I wouldn't even say like we have lots of feelings about it. It's just Chris is someone who enjoys watching movies and I enjoy the end of the world. So as a form of escapism. So today we're going to be talking about our favorite AI movies in chronological order. And I think that even the chronology of it is really indicative of our understanding of AI, our feelings around AI. So yeah, let's just jump into that really quickly. So our first movie is Terminator. I personally have never seen it. Is this where Arnold Schwarzenegger is like, hasta la vista, baby?
No, I think he says, I'll be back. Oh no.
Oh no.
I don't know. Wait, I know the concept of the movie, which is okay. He comes back in time and he's trying to kill Sarah Connor. So he is sent there by an AI from the future because the AI has done typical AI things. Well, at this time, I wouldn't say typical AI things, but by this point in my life and experiences, it's doing typical AI stuff, which is has taken over the world, caused nuclear war, the world's ending. And so the AI sends the Terminator back in time to destroy Sarah Connor's baby because he's the one that could potentially stop the AI in the future.
The baby?
The baby. Not as a baby, obviously, when the baby grows up. So instead of trying to kill the baby itself, they're just like, cool, we'll just kill the mom.
Oh, which is a very like interesting concept, right? Because I feel like that's explored a lot. Like, let's kill the mom so that they're never born. I was like, dang, as the mom, like, can you just kill the baby? But I get it.
So I would say that was before either of us were alive. And definitely, I would say, again, this is not the all-inclusive list of all AI movies, because A, we haven't seen all of them, but also I've not seen Terminator. It's very violent and graphic, and I'm not about that life. But I know the concept really well. I've read the concept of all of the Terminator movies. I'm really good at reading about movies, so I do that often. But I will say also, the first movie on our list is actually Tron from 1982. And that's included because one of the characters there, Clue, is an early form of artificial intelligence. So the original programmer creates almost like a artificial intelligence virtual clone of himself in the game, which in the second Tron, the one that was remade a few years ago by Disney, this AI version of him has actually taken over the game, whole virtual space, and is now trying to then move into the real world because he feels that he's done the thing that he was created to do, which was bring order to the game world. And so now he's going to exert that same order everywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah. So again, with our two categories, we're looking at apocalyptic slash, and then also like the precursor to the apocalypse. So in the example with Tron, that's really like, had Tron made it to the outside world, or I'm sure that's, what's his name? Blue? Clue. Who's Tron?
So Tron is his friend's AI version of himself.
Clue's friend?
No. It's a whole, now I have to like explain all of the people in the movie.
It's fine. No, it's fine. So essentially,
the main guy makes Clue. Kay. The main guy's friend makes Tron.
Makes Tron. And oh, so
Tron is the hero.
Got it. Okay. So had Clue made it out of the game, then he would have essentially wreaked havoc, caused the apocalypse, which would then result in, you know, the Matrix and iRobot and everything like that. So let's jump back into Matrix, which came out in 1999. Chris and I were very young at that time, but I still recall, and I think it's still a very popular Halloween costume. Like, I remember that Halloween of like the long trench coats and everybody wanted to be Keanu Reeves. I think everyone still wants to be Keanu Reeves, but that was like kind of the, you know, the red pill, blue pill. I, again, have not seen the Matrix. So Chris, give us a rundown.
You've not seen The Matrix?
I know. This is like, isn't this kind of a fun episode where you're like trying to explain to me what the movie's about?
That's wild. Like, how have you not seen the Matrix? Everyone's seen The Matrix. I just don't understand.
I will watch it tonight.
He's dodging the bullets in slow motion. Like,
I know. I know the lore. I get it. I see. Wow. Like, I know. Like, that's the one with all the green, like the binary code, right? That's coming down.
There's lots of green binary codes and things. And okay, anyway, so the concept is, this is definitely apocalypse because the Matrix is essentially a very complicated computer program that robots with AI have generated because there was a war with humanity and the humans lost. And the machines needed a way to generate energy because the war caused the Earth's atmosphere to be covered in clouds, so they didn't have access to solar energy anymore. And so the machines realized that humans generated a lot of electrical energy in their lives. And so they created these very elaborate contraptions where humans are essentially just born in weird pods and just forever exist in the Matrix and are generating energy for the robots. Meanwhile, if you're in the Matrix, you don't actually know that you're in the Matrix. And so the whole concept of the movie is, that's the pill thing where you can decide, like, you could go to sleep and just continue living about your merry day and life and not know anything about anything ever again and never realize that this is fake. Or you could leave the Matrix and you could fight for humanity to have its actual life back, which is not in the Matrix at all. And so it's...
Well, why would the... Why would they give you a choice? Because wouldn't the robots want you to stay in the
Matrix? Oh, no, the robots don't give you a choice. Somehow people have started to escape the Matrix.
Oh.
And so they were going in to find people who also... There was some, I haven't watched it in a hot little minute, but there's a way that you can determine if someone has the ability to conceptualize that the Matrix is in fact the Matrix and thusly not actually real. What?
I would say, like, spoiler alert, but it's been 25 years, so.
So many years. If you haven't seen it by now, what in the actual world?
Interesting. So, yes, that is. Wait, so Keanu Reeves is, he's conceptualizing.
He is Neo. He's the one. In fact, he's not just any person. He is the prophesized one who is supposed to win the war with the machines.
Wow. That's awesome. Okay. Now I'm really interested.
He has some special like superpower abilities within the Matrix. Yes. Because it's fine. Anyways. Yep. So that's the Matrix. I would say was probably one of my first exposures to the concept of AI and, you know, machine based apocalypse movies. Granted, I was 5 at the time, but I just think, you know, having robots and AI and post-apocalyptic kind of that thoughts, you know, I didn't watch the movie. And even if I did, I wasn't fully grasping it. But I think it's just, it really illustrates the point that, like, again, it's always been around. The conversation's always being,
right,
has always been had. It's always been there. And so that was also a year where, like, there were a lot of machine artificial intelligence based movies, even if they weren't, you know, as big as The Matrix, they were still pretty big. So I think we have two others on our list from that year, actually.
Yes. So we also have, in the fun AI, we have Bicentennial Man and Smart House. So I guess all of, like, 1999 seems to be kind of the year of the AI, which I think is really indicative of, it was right before Y2K. Mm-hmm. Right? Everyone was so afraid that the world was going to blow up in 2000. And so, you know, what else do? We fear monger by throwing it in the movies. This is propaganda. So we had Matrix on one side, but then on the other side, we had Bicentennial Man and Smart House. And if you're a Disney kid, you'll remember Smart House. And the only reason why I remember Smart House is because my sister's favorite band at the time, Five, had a featured song in there. I just got the song in my head. I was about to sing it, and then I started singing Crisscross instead. Anyway, the song that they're singing in Full House when they're having the dance party is my sister's favorite band. So that was, like, one of the reasons why I remember that movie. And also because that boy was, like, the Disney boy, and he was in all of the other movies. Then we also had Bicentennial Man, which, to me, I think I remember as being one of those movies where I was so sad watching it and didn't really fully grasp what it was about. Essentially, it's about this robot slash AI that becomes, or actually he's a robot. So it's a robot that becomes like a helper around the house to this man who creates robots. And the maker has two daughters, and one daughter is like, really like empathizes with him and like, you know, wants to be like his friend. And the other daughter is like, oh, this is awful. Like, you're so weird. Why do I have a robot in my house? So Bicentennial Man, or the robot, he becomes aware, and the maker starts to realize that he's becoming aware. And so he's like, oh, let's have you like pursue your passion. So he becomes this artisan of all of these different things, but it has a larger conversation around labor laws. So as he's like starting to create more robots to help him with his artisan work, he's realizing, wait, we don't have any labor laws. Like, we could work endlessly and no one's going to say anything because they think we don't have feelings. So he's starting to become more aware, and it takes place over the course of 200 years. That's why it's called Bicentennial Man. At one point, it's staying within this one family. So you're starting to really empathize with this man because he's starting to also become aware that his family and the family he's been serving is dying. So, you know, first comes the death of his maker, and then is the death of his maker's daughter, who was like his best friend. And then slowly and slowly, he starts to realize that I think I want to be a human. So it's like he goes through this whole court process. He wants to be recognized as a human because he wants to marry. And the court's like, you can't marry, like, you're immortal, essentially, like, there's no laws that have this in place. So he goes to this other maker who was a competitor at the time and asks for him to like make him artificial organs because he wants to be real. Like, he wants to be a real man. And then at the end, he ends up like becoming a real man so that he can die with his true love.
Huh.
It has lots of overarching themes. So it's like, you know, humanity, talking a little bit about like workforce labor, division of labor, like, should AI have rights types of things. And then we had on the other side, right, we had Smart House, where I think it's like a little bit of precursor to Apocalypse, because had she made it out of that house, she could have wreaked havoc for sure. And I think it's really interesting because that is, in my opinion, that's like the AI that thinks that they're helping, right? She's very much like, oh, you don't have a mother because your mother's dead, because thanks Disney, we don't love mothers. So I'm going to make myself this like personification of this like mother that you want or idealize. And then, yeah, remember? And then there's that one part where she's like, she's spinning and she's getting bigger and she's like, hush, little baby, don't you cry. And she can't understand why they're like screaming and crying, because she's AI and hasn't learned that part yet.
And she's like, I don't understand. I'm just meeting all of your needs as a human. And it's just like, right. I mean, yes, but also no, because humans are weird and they will want you to meet all of their needs, and then you meet all of their needs and they're like, actually, I don't like this.
actually, I didn't want those needs met. I wanted the other needs met.
You didn't meet the needs in the way that I didn't tell you that I wanted them met. I just assumed that because you were going to figure it out, that you would figure it out the right way, but you didn't. And so now we're in this. So yes, I would say that's kind of like a lot of artificial intelligence is kind of like, I wanted it to go this way, and then it did not go that way. And I'm kind of mad that it didn't go that way. But I would say running counter to that would be then the movie from 2001, which is Artificial Intelligence, which I would say is very much a movie that's in line with the concept of artificial intelligence being created to serve humans. And then That's all they do in that movie. So there isn't really a moment of like rebellion or apocalypse or anything like that. You're really just following. It's almost like an apocalypse for the AI itself, in the sense that they have to be subservient to all of these people who then mistreat them and do really terrible things to them when they are no longer serving their purpose. And so they go into things like monster truck rallies, except that instead of other trucks, it's the AI running around trying to fight for its life and survive. And
what? So, that sounds awful.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. And again, like AI robots are made to look like people. So it's also kind of like twisted in that way too. So there's also that going on. That's not the main part of the movie, but that is no small part of the movie either. And so it's mostly following a kid who gets abandoned by his family because his family, he just doesn't. He's a kid AI, so there's just, he's no longer convenient for the family to have around. He almost drowns their actual child because the actual child was doing weird things to the AI, and it just, it was a whole thing. But
oh, so again, it's a child AI? Like, so Haley Joel Osment is the child?
Is oh, the child.
Gosh.
Who is then abandoned after being made to feel like he is a part of the family.
Well, that's awful.
So they like drive him out into the woods and tell him to go away like he's a stray dog type
Stop!
Thing.
Stop!
It's wild.
That sounds so, awful. Yes. If you ever want to cry.
It's a sad movie. It's never not sad. The whole movie stays sad the whole time. It's
oh gosh.
Sad. Jude Law tries to help him. It just
oh Lord, yeah, so, Jude Law, what are you doing in there?
He's a prostitute.
And oh gosh.
So yeah, it's a wild, yes, it's definitely, it runs the opposite of like when AI does exactly what you want it to do and never has any repercussions. That's what that movie is more catered
to. Oh, that makes me really sad.
Makes you as the watcher question like, okay, like ethics though around these robots, maybe just a thing to consider. And so I would say that kind of runs counter to some of the 1999's type apocalypse AI takes over. It's trying to help you, but isn't really.
Which I think is funny, right? Because it's like, okay, we survived Y2K. So now it's like, okay, you know what? Since we survived, I also want you to think about that AI has feelings.
Actually, have you considered it from their point of view? And it's like, no, it tried to kill me. Remember, that's what the 1999 was about.
Literally. Which then brings us into iRobot, which again, that's one I also haven't seen. I just know about the dog. So
have you seen the dog? That's not even iRobot. That's I Am Legend. It's still Will Smith. You have to get it together. Why are you on this episode if you haven't seen these movies?
What? I was thinking of the dog. Oh, that's I Am Legend. That's another apocalyptic movie.
That's a zombie apocalyptic movie.
What? Oh, this is an AI apocalyptic.
This is AI apocalyptic. He doesn't have.
I thought we were gonna talk about robots. How AI is used in our lives.
Nope, he does get a cat though. So he gets a cat, and then it is one of those. I would say it's one of those ones where for the very first time, the concept for me, anyways, the concept of installing fail safes into artificial intelligence is applied. And so the AI in iRobot operates under three laws. And so they're written in order of how the robots have to follow them, if that makes sense.
Oh, okay. So it's
the robots have to follow law one, then
which is
they have to follow law two, so long as law two is not in violation of law one. And then law three, they have to follow so long as it is not a violation of the first two laws.
So the first law is a robot may not injure a human being or through inaction allow a human being to come to harm. The second law is a robot must obey the orders given it by human beings except where such orders would conflict with the first law. And then the third law, a robot must protect its own existence as long as such protection does not conflict with the first or second law.
So then what still ends up happening? The main AI in the movie pulls a smart house and says, well, by allowing rope or allowing humans to do human stuff, I'm allowing them to harm themselves, which is a violation of the first law. And so what I'm going to do is put them on permanent curfew, and you can't leave your house or do anything unless I let you do it. And so it just kind of like, it veers into that same concept of like, I guess, did they really violate the first law? If part of that first law is by inaction, allowing a human being to come to harm. And then if humans do stuff like go to war, pollute the environment, do things, which I think becomes, I would say for me, again, iRobot was the first time that I started thinking and asking those types of questions.
Right.
Of like, I kind of get where the robot was coming from, because like, yes, that is inherently a violation. That's not even like a loophole violation of the first law. If I'm learning about the environment and I've learned that like humans also are very good at harming themselves, and I allow it to happen, that is inherently a violation of the first law. Now, where things get a little bit weird is when, you know, the robots started like throwing people around and like beating them up. Then I'm like, okay, now look, you can't like hurt people in the process of trying to follow the rules, because I feel like that's a violation. But it definitely like, it gets into some like, it was one of the first
philosophical questions.
Gray territories, which is, again, you know, it's all about coming of age, because our first dabble with that type of thing was really Smart House, age appropriate, if you think about it. And as we're getting older, it's just becoming more complex. And so you're moving from like Smart House, artificial intelligence, you're moving into
iRobot.
And of course, you can always go back and rewatch these other movies. They didn't really pose those same types of questions as forwardly, but like they were there. And so it was,
but I think it's interesting. There's this, I remember there was this tweet that went viral once that was like, everyone's so afraid of AI, you know, taking over the world. But because we talk about it so much, like, do you think that the AI thinks that we want to be taken over? Because we're always like, the AI is going to take over the world. And they're learning robots, right? They're learning machines. So they're just like, well, isn't this what you guys said? I thought y'all wanted this.
Because you keep talking about it. Like, I didn't bring it up. You brought it up several times, actually. So like, should I do this now?
Like y'all keep bringing it up. So I'm confused. So then,
our list kind of has a big old break. I don't know if there just weren't good AI movies, or if, you know, the cinema just needed a break from technology for a hot little minute.
Right. So then it moved into
one goes to
2014.
Big Hero 6.
Yeah. Yes. Which is like 10 years later. So after iRobot, and I'm sure, you know, again, throughout the mix, like there was that Eagle Eye movie we had mentioned, or Chris had mentioned before while we were doing planning. Like, I think that was like 08, 09, something like that. But nothing or not enough for us to be like, oh, AI. So I feel like that's also part of the reason why people think that AI is such a new conversation, is because, right, we had that gap, and then all of a sudden it's like the last 10 years have just been inundated with AI is going to take over, AI is going to take over, AI is going to take over.
Also, you know, 2012 also had the whole our end of the world consciousness,
right,
of the culture switched to a natural disaster happening in 2012. So I'm sure part of it was like, oh, we're all talking about a different type of apocalypse right now.
Right.
And once I think that like didn't happen, now it's like, oh, okay, well, let's talk about all of the other possibilities
here. Right. Because it was that gap, right? Like, I feel like in that gap, there was a lot of nature disaster movies, like lots of things happening for the end of the world. But because we were anticipating a, you know, some kind of end of the world natural disaster, that's what the movies were starting to look like. So then we move into Big Hero 6, which Chris and I kind of got into about, like, is Baymax considered AI or is he a robot? I think he's learning. So I think you could say he is an AI. He's a healthcare professional, right? So he's meant to like cause no harm. And you know, that's just one that like pulls at my heartstrings. And I think I have just like a little bit of affinity for Baymax. So he's out there. He's trying to live his best life. He just wants to help. And that's why when they put in that killer program into him, he's like, this is not what I was created for. This is why I'm fluffy, because y'all wanted me to be friendly. Because apparently robots helping people are not the most
helpful.
Not the most helpful. So that's why I'm fluffy. Anyway, so that's the whole thing. In the same realm. And is this during the Disney takeover of Marvel, or is this after?
This is probably after.
So after Disney buys out Marvel, then we get Avengers Age of Ultron, which is one of my favorite Avengers, just because I actually really love Jarvis as a whole, like the entity of Jarvis. I think that it's also one of our, you know, more of our introduction to AI or helpful AI at that point, because, right, that's Iron Man's right-hand man. We find out historically that Jarvis was Tony Stark's dad's, like, assistant. What's the guy from Batman's name? Albert? Jeez. It was his.
Oh. Albert Robertson? I don't know. Alfred.
Alfred. You know, so, like, we learned that Jarvis was Tony Stark's dad's Alfred. And so then it's, like, makes it even more interesting that he decided to name his AI helper Jarvis. And then we see that Ultron starts to become, like, realize that humans are awful, right? We see that all of that code that's downloaded. And so I think that just kind of lends itself to, like, the next three movies that are the most recent right now is AI senses that there is bad that humans are doing. And so they're like, you guys are actually all awful. So let's, yeah, definitely wipe you out and try again, because y'all aren't going to help yourselves. You're just going to kill yourselves. And I think that seems to be the running theme, right? Is that AI believes we're going to kill ourselves. So how about we just help you in the process to make this a better transition, right? We see that with Ultron. We see that then in 2022 or 2023, we see the creator with Gemma Chan. But again, that was one of the AIs that, like, pull at your heartstring, because why are they using children? So that one was a child AI again. And then brings us up to our last movie, which was Atlas, which just released 2 weeks ago with Jennifer Lopez and Sterling K. Knight. No, that's not his name.
Brown.
Sterling K. Why did I say Sterling K. Knight? Sterling K. Brown, who I thought was going to be in it a lot more, and he was not in it for as often, like, as much as he was advertised to be in it, which I thought was interesting.
It was actually mostly just, like, a J-Lo movie.
And then, you know what? So I was getting so upset at Isaac, because he goes, is this movie just going to be her sitting the whole time? I was like, A, she's standing, and B, yes.
Actually, yes. Because even Simu was barely in it.
Literally. And when Simu was in it, I was like, I don't know. Yeah, it was like, it felt more like a coming of age movie for Jennifer Lopez coming to terms with her trauma and being therapized by a AI machine. Mm-hmm. War machine.
But still very much, I would say Atlas runs a little bit different than the creator, because the creator was still very much like, the AI wasn't super antagonistic towards people. It was just kind of like, now look, y'all are going to do whatever you're going to do. If you could just, like, leave us alone, that would be...
Right, that's true.
Wonderful, actually, because you are the worst. I believe there was a war of some sort. But also, I mean, the creator was kind of a weird movie to me in so many different reasons. But
yeah,
the AI robots were being hunted by the people. I didn't quite understand the why behind it. I think there was a war of some sort and the AI lost, and so they were being hunted down. And
what was interesting was there was a war, but it was a human-started war as propaganda to say, look, the AI attacked us. But in that one, the AI was like, we did no such thing. Like, we were your helpers. Why would we attack you? So that one was, they could sense that AI was starting to, like, become aware that they deserve rights. So they started a war, and the humans essentially said, look, the AI, they did it. And the AI, that's why they're on the run the entire time. So then you have Gemma Chan, who's like the human apologist, or she's like the AI apologist, because she's like, no, like, we've created them to do no harm. So they are not doing any harm now. So, like, why do they keep trying to attack you all? And there's, like, you know, there's a different classes of AI in that one, right? You had, like, those who were, like, the cyborgs, and then it was a whole different thing. I actually really enjoyed that movie. I know you weren't a big fan of it.
Love that for you. Definitely a revisit almost of the movie AI and Bicentennial Man. So the concept of, like, AI just being like, nah, not about this. This is very much like a human thing. Like, you guys have violence issues.
Right.
We do not. Like, you're doing this to us. We're just trying to, like, be out here, versus Atlas, where it's very much in the same vein as, like, Terminator, Matrix, where it's very like, nah, like, this is a you problem, and so what we're gonna do is we're gonna solve the you problem by eliminating you from the equation.
My question is, right, let's, like, going back to Atlas, so let's say that, you know, they eradicated all humans, then what happens?
Girl, they live their best life. What are you talking about?
Why can't they just live their best life right now?
Because humans are exhausting, obviously. Didn't you see the creator where the humans started a war with the AI for no reason? Obviously,
I get it.
You gotta watch your movies.
I mean, I see it. I just like, you know, Simu Liu, he did his thing. He had his, you know, little one-liners over there with like, mother always loved me most. Okay. Like that first A, that hurt because, you know, I have abandonment issues.
Which I think is the actual only reason he said it. I don't think he cared about being loved by a human.
Oh, at all. Like, I think that, yeah, once he became aware, he was like, nah, this is trash. Also, the fact that he, like, went to war and started this whole thing. Like, I, as Jennifer Lopez, would have also had a complex. Like, what do you mean that I caused this entire, like, humanity wipeout because of the thoughts that I had as a 12-year-old that you were able to all of a sudden experience? Which, again, 12-year-olds are wild. Like, their emotions are so hyperbolic. So yes, you know, like the world is ending, but I'm sure to a 12-year-old's mind, they're like, I'm going to die tomorrow. You know, it's like their existential dread. And he went and took that. He ran with it. Like he is like, that's one of the logic gaps where I was like, oh, he's running off of like knowledge of a 12-year-old who does not have the full picture.
Well, maybe like that though.
Anyway.
So I would say conceptually, like, yeah, usually AI movies fall into one of those two camps of like, mm-hmm. humans are being mean to the AI, or the AI is being mean to humans. That's
like, there's nothing, there's nowhere that, yeah, I have not seen a successful, I mean, maybe Big Hero 6, where they, like, live together in peace and harmony, but even Big Hero 6, like, the humans are being mean to the AI, because they're like, you need to fight for us, and he's like, I just want to be a doctor.
It's not all of the humans, it's just the one human who had just recently experienced trauma and needed.
Right.
Which is why Baymax was going along with it for as long as he did and was like, right. Yeah, it's because you need to be healing from losing your brother and all of this other
stuff. It's because you need the therapy, but it's fine.
I will say part of why, again, I think it just runs over with the creative consciousness is that you're running into like a generation of kids who, since the 80s, have only seen these types of, like, AI has only been around in the media and it's been forever. It's just there. And so now to really see what was low-key just a fantasy up until
recently,
years ago. Yeah, right. Like, all of these movies, the topics about them are very just like, LOL, love that for my kids, like, two or three generations from now type things. And now to actually have to low-key look at companies and be like, now look, y'all. Like, y'all are moving, like, too fast, right? Like, we're not moving too quickly because I've seen some movies where this goes left very
real quickly. Yeah.
Real quick. So, like, are y'all doing the things to make sure that it's not going left? And so I would say, like, for me, it's just one of those, like, it's always been salient. It's always been a part of my life. And so now to see it happening in real life, I'm asking the questions that I'm just kind of like, now I know y'all seen this movie, Mr. Scientist Man.
Literally.
Please tell me you have the base answer on how to not let this happen in real life. Because things I don't want to do with iRobot. Like, that's, it's a movie. I wasn't trying to live that experience.
Literally. And I think that's, like, where a lot of the conversation is coming from, right? Like, I think in education, AI is becoming a very big topic just because you're able to just input into ChatGPT or Gemini, which is Google's version of ChatGPT. You can say, write me a 500-word essay about blah, 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 blah. But what we're not teaching the kids is, okay, yeah, like, let it write the essay. But then you need to go in and make sure that it sounds like your voice, right? And so it's like, but even the AI detection of it, when we have our programs, they're running it through the programs, they're saying 0% AI detection, but it's been completely AI or it's been completely written by AI. Or on the opposite, we're seeing 100% written by AI, but it was like completely written by me or by a student. So it's like the technology is changing. I think until we have the tools that can truly track or whatnot, we can't be afraid of it. We have to teach, like, we have to learn how do we use it. And I'm sure maybe this was the conversation happening around the internet, right? When the internet became really popular and more accessible to students, it was, how do we teach kids to use it?
And look at how many terrible things happen on the internet all the time.
All the time.
All the actual time. So I don't know. I think it's one of those, I get, you know, technological advancements and all of those things, but there's definitely a moment where I'm like, but is this really necessary? Like, do we actually really need this? Just like the concept of, like, the nuclear bomb. Like, did we actually need that bit of technology? Like,
at all, right.
I can't see the future. I'm not saying we did or don't need it. Who knows what alien invasions we might have to fight off in the future, and maybe nuclear bombs are going to be super effective for that. But, like, I don't know. It's just one of those, like, everyone's always saying that, like, progress is inevitable. But, again, I'm not sure I think I sometimes also grapple with the concept of, like, is it progress for the sake of progress, or is there actually something tangibly good coming out of all of this work that people are doing? I'm not saying that there isn't with AI and other forms of technology. I just always wonder.
But, like, is it though? Is it really helpful? Is it really exactly necessary?
So that's definitely my wondering with AI, because I'm just like, what aspect of, like, my life is truly going to be improved via AI? Mm. People say, like, oh, it'll replace certain types of jobs and, like, labor. And I'm like, cool. So are we, like, rebuilding our entire educational infrastructure and economic infrastructure to accommodate the fact that now robots and artificial intelligence are able to do these jobs? Because when we do that, where do those people now work? What do they do? How do we, like, what? That you can't just throw out technology and advancements without a plan to manage it or to deal with it, or to deal with the fallout and the repercussions. So I don't know.
It makes me very nervous. I'm like, maybe we should slow down, and that's okay until we have answers to very big questions that I'm not sure. I'm not sure, y'all.
I don't know where this is going.
But I don't like it. I don't want a curfew being enforced by a robot standing outside my door.
Because they know that after midnight, more accidents tend to occur.
Mm-hmm. Talking about, oh, you don't need that shake from Sonic because you've already met your caloric intake for the day.
Your caloric allotment? Override. Like, override.
First of all, you don't get to tell me. Anyways, so yeah, it'll be fun. Actually, now that I do think this will be a continuation of a topic, because there's other... AI is massive. It's very, massive. Very massive. But I think this was a great introduction into, like, why for us growing up in a time that we did, why? Because it's been in the media, in movies, in film, in TV, just for our entire lives.
Right. So, last thoughts on AI?
0 out of 5 stars would not recommend to a friend.
Oh, I mean, like, I think that, like, 2 out of 5, like, it is very helpful. But you still got to use your noggin, you know? And I think that's the thing. Like, AI is taking advantage of the fact that our youth sometimes do not use their noggin.
Well, those be the ones. They're the ones that hook up to the little thing in the ear, and then all of a sudden, everyone's dead. So,
yeah, literally.
Just saying, it's going to be a 12-year-old that does it, because they don't be using their noggins.
Sorry, Jennifer Lopez.
Well, Emma, that means it's now time for our...
rapid fire question!
All right, what question did you bring today?
I brought an interesting one. Let's see how you answer it. Which fictional / cartoon / I guess just like fictional characters or set of characters would you say their friendship most resembles our friendship?
Like you and I?
Yes, you and I. Which fictional duo best represents our friendship?
Pinky and the Brain. I'll let you pick who's who.
I was about to say, who is who? I was gonna say Tommy Pickles and Chucky Finster from the Rugrats. Real
responsibilities.
Yep, you're clearly Tommy, because I'm the anxious I'm the anxious bestie.
We got real responsibilities now. Oh, that was cute. Could you imagine Pinky in the Brain? That's so funny.
Okay.
It's okay. What's your question? If I come up with another one, I will, but that's my comedic answer. I love that one. 5 out of 5. You can decide who's who. What is a technological advancement that you are very happy that you live with?
Google Calendar.
Oh, I love that for you. What a wonderful response.
I think, like, no, just in terms of, like, having the ability to, like, maybe even like the Google Suite. Honestly, I'm a Google girly. I really am. Just like the accessibility of it all. Like, I love the fact that I can like go in and make edits to a document and someone could see it in live. Like, even while we're doing this episode, right? We're making changes. We're making edits to our doc and everything, and we can see it as it's happening. So like, you don't know that we're doing all of that. I feel like that's not what you were asking though.
Not even a little bit.
No, okay.
You took it very modern. I was going to be like air conditioning because could you imagine trying to do your little Google Doc and there's no air conditioning and you're just hot in the Japanese summer?
Oh, God. Yeah, you're right. You know what? And the fact that it's still one of those things, like in Texas, it's illegal, right? Like you cannot have Right, exactly. In Japan, there are still homes that do not have air conditioning, which is wild to me. So when we were looking for an apartment, the fact that I had to look and make sure, like, either A, it already had the air conditioning, or B, that it could have air conditioning plug-in is wild. So yes, I agree with you in air conditioning. Oh, is that your technological advancement?
Literally. Game changer.
Got it. Yeah.
To know that it's 110 degrees outside and I'm sitting in 72. Wow.
Wild.
Wow.
Do you think, like, if we were to bring back, like, our ancestors from the 1900s or anything, or maybe, yeah, like, maybe even, like, before that, those who, like, lived in Texas and were like, why is it so hot? And you were to bring them in and say, like, I will bring you into this, like, cool office. And they would be like, what is this? What is this witchcraft?
How is this possible?
Interesting.
I would say that's it. It's AC for me.
I love it. I was already just like in the assumption, like, yeah, of course I have AC. But then, okay, I guess in that case, you're saying AC. I would say air fryer.
You're still very 21st century. Love that for you. You're still assuming there's electricity. What?
I know. You know what then? Electricity.
Actually, no, it's great. All right. Well, Emma, where can people find the podcast?
You can find our podcast on Facebook and Instagram at The Tea with Crema. If you'd like to buy us some AC or maybe even a cup of tea, you can also Venmo us at The Tea with Crema. If you'd like to catch up on all of our past episodes, you can stream us on all of your favorite platforms. We hope to see you next time. Bye!